Welcome to New Realities with Alan Steinfeld. Each week I try to explore the latest in an evolving consciousness that's happening here on the planet and a evolving spiritual understanding that's unfolding. And tonight's guests are very much in alignment with that. They have written a book, From Om to Orgasm. Tonight's guests are Shandi Devi and J. Ram Shivananda. Thank you. You're both here, right?
That's right.
Okay, great. And this book, From Om to Orgasm, is a tantra primer for living in bliss. And we've done other shows in the past about tantra, and everyone seems to have their own understanding about what that is. And actually, tantra in some circles has gotten a bit of a bad reputation of just meaning sex. But I think what you guys have come up with is something that goes beyond that and brings the sacredness back into the understanding of what tantra is. So why don't we start with just an overview of how either one of you choose to define tantra. J-Ram.
Pick one. Well, tantra to us is a whole integrative philosophy for finding a more authentic way of living. It's a way to develop yourself in mind, body, spirit in a more total fashion. Tantra gives you Tantra is a philosophy, and within the realm of Tantra, tools to allow you to delve deeper into life's understanding and find the means to connect to your partner, develop real intimacy, and expand your own awareness of yourself and the universe that you live in.
Right. I follow that. So, Shandi, do you want to give some specific details of that, of how that actually works in practice with your partner?
Yes. Well, tantra is a spiritual path that enables the couple to connect on different levels of their being, on the spiritual level, mental level, emotional level, and by connecting on all these different realms, you get a very deep understanding and a deep intimacy and a bond. And this is what tantra is all about. It's about bonding with your partner, and by doing so, you also learn so much, not only about your partner, but mostly about yourself. And this way you can actually work to make changes in your ways of thinking and learning to be more mindful of your actions and your words. And it all comes down to it's a spiritual path that has its roots. You know, it's not something that's just made up or something, a new fad. It has very deep spiritual roots.
Well, let's go into some of the spiritual roots and the specificness of actually how it's a spiritual path. I mean, do you know what I'm... Would you like to answer that, J. Ram?
Sure.
Specificness. I mean, we get the general idea, so how do we actually work with it?
How do you do it? Well,
yeah.
He's kind of divided things up in the book in the order of... some of the basic life skills that you need to acquire in developing true or authentic knowledge. There's knowledge and how to take that knowledge and apply it and turn it into action. And more specifically is you have to acquire knowledge about yourself.
What kind of knowledge about ourselves do we need?
Well, we need to learn to become real and learn to separate our ego-ness from who are our authentic self, our higher self. And we can do this through the platform of bonding with our partners, because our partners become a mirror. And the mirror allows us to see ourselves real and not through the mirror of our own ego, trying to project something of who we are, but
if we
ego interface, we become more authentic, and that's the whole approach, is bringing the polarities of maleness and femaleness, honoring the differences and joining those together. In doing so, we become greater, the two parts become greater than the sum.
Right. Yeah. Just as you were speaking, I got a glimpse of the difficulty a spiritual path could be in that kind of partnership, because it's hard enough losing a sort of sense of ego when you're by yourself, but we're always an ego personality, especially when we're in relationship. So to drop into our authentic nature in relationship makes it easier, but it can also make that spiritual path a little harder. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, it can, but if you trust the and are honest with yourself and honest with your partner, if you both approach it from this total honesty, and if you have the passion, the desire to find realness and authentic understanding about life and yourself, then there has to be a renewed sense of trust and fairness in not allowing, you can't abuse each other in this tantric approach, because you strip away your ego defenses and you become very vulnerable. And it is a difficult path, but it's a very rewarding path, extremely rewarding. And some of the more specifics you were wanting to know, and Tantra, as you know, integrates the gift of sex, and we don't deny our senses, we don't deny the fruits of bliss that comes from authentic union of two beings honestly joining together.
Right. Well, let me just ask Shandi, Devi, that question as well, because I think women even have a harder time letting go of their image, because they're more conditioned to live for that image, at least from as I see it. And so it might be even harder for women to strip away that ego type of surface in order to drop into the authentic self. What do you have to say, Shandi?
You're absolutely right. It's very important for everyone, but especially women, to realize that they are more than just the physicalness that they see, that there is a self. And this higher self is there, it is always there, but we deny it and we cover it, and you know, we don't accept it. And this is where meditation comes in very handy. And if meditation is crucial to practicing Tantra, because you have to develop your own sense of self and who you are in order to be able to relate that and to convey your soul or your soul to your partner. And you have to be in total trust, and it does take work, and the work involves meditation. If you can just by meditating even 5 minutes a day over a period of time, you will have a sense of more calm and more confidence. And, you know, I say this because from experience, you know, I started off meditating just 5 minutes a day.
Mm.
And that can make a whole difference. And gradually, the consciousness opens up, the portals opens up through meditation.
Right, and meditation takes us into the awareness that we are basically pure consciousness. So then what is the focus? This is what I want to understand, the focus on the body in Tantra. If we know, in a sense, that we're not the body, how can we, go back there? Yeah.
But if I could just interject here, but we are the body. We are the body, mind, spirit. We're this totality. And the body is our temple. It's like the tireless slave that responds to our will. So we have to honor the body and recognize the mind and recognize our own spirit. We become the totality, the total self. And that's the plane, that's the level that you want to get to, and when you reach this level, life becomes more blissful and authentic in all that you do. It's not just a brief interlude where sex becomes very gratifying. Life becomes more gratifying, and all things manifest in greater
Listen, if I can add something to that, we use the body in Tantra. We use the body as a vehicle to knowing the self.
Mm.
And nothing in Tantra is discarded. We take every moment, every situation, everything that we are, and every action that we undertake can be worship. And this is the whole concept of Tantra, is it's an all-encompassing involvement of body, mind, and spirit, and none is rejected.
Uh-huh. So what you're saying, if I understand the way you're talking about Tantra, is that, I mean, the most spiritual paths have some goal of liberation beyond the body, mind, as a sense of enlightenment, and that's something that exists outside of life, in a sense. And what you think what you're saying about Tantra is that, no, we're here to gain liberation, if you want to call it that, within the conditions of life and the body and the mind and everything that we are. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yes.
That's correct.
Well, and that makes it very exciting. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yes. That's most correct, that some schools, they teach the denial of the senses or the denial of the body. And we recognize that the body, the senses, all life experiences are divine. Divine manifestations of this wonderful gift of life. And to honor that and to live in a state of that awareness. Now, you're not going to find this God realization of this rapture that comes to you overnight, but it's a developmental path that you can use the authentic joining of mind to mind, body to body, soul to soul allows you to step outside your ego and slowly ascend into a higher state of awareness. When you become aware of yourself and the universe within you, then the universe expands beyond you. So it's engaging, it's demanding, but it's very exciting. It's the only spiritual path that I know that allows total acceptance of all of you, all that you are. It respects women, it respects sex, it respects body, it respects life, it recognizes your divineness, and it gives you, we give you the tools to find this realization, and it's a wonderful thing.
Shandi, what were you saying? What did you want to add to that realization?
I was just going to say that every part of the body is divine and is treated as such, and we don't deny the senses, whereas some of the other paths will have you deny certain things. But Tantra is all inclusive, and nothing is regarded as being not sacred. Everything is sacred. Everything is divine, like Jai Ram says.
Right, but...
And... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just curious to think if you agree that we also exist beyond the body as consciousness, that we're not just the body, but we're the essence of who we are is not physical.
That's true.
Right.
That's true, but we have to develop that awareness of what's within and what's without. So it becomes an inner microcosm of our own body and our own experiences. It opens the door to this out-of-worldly perception of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes our portal into the greater understanding of the universe.
Huh.
Yes. And so they say to know the body is to know the universe.
Oh.
And this is the consciousness. You must be aware of your body.
Right. That's a good point. Because the universe, when we're talking about the universe, we're talking about a physical essence of something. It's physical. I mean, you know, otherwise everything is consciousness and in a way nondescript, non-specific. But the manifestation, the world of manifestation exists, and this is where we're playing in that world. And so
correct. But if I could just interject here.
Sure, please.
One of the things that makes a big distinction in the belief system of Tantra is that it's all experiential. And we believe that life begins, the authentic understanding of life begins senses. So...
Where you said?
Say again?
Life begins where? I'm sorry, I missed that. Life begins...
Through... Authentic life begins through our senses, through our awareness of what we experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that's separate from us or conjured up in some mental understanding or paradigm that we somehow take on faith. It's something that we can experience and have a direct personal experience with this divine understanding of the universe and finding a means to accept our own divineness, the inner Atman, the inner authentic self. Tantra allows you to find this reality through experience. And we believe that this is quite different than most approaches. The experience, the truth lies in the experience.
Well, then sex itself, the sexual experience, is an actual amplification of our senses. I mean, it's our heightened sensory perception. Is that...
Well, sex is the Shakti of life. I mean, there's two polarities in this duality of existence. Is Shiva Shakti. Shakti being the juice of life, all that we feel and taste, and Shiva consciousness being our consciousness, our awareness of the universe. And it's the embodiment of Shiva Shakti is in the male female, and the woman is the juice of the senses. It is the sex. It is the wonderful experience of our senses. That's the Shakti. And by drawing the maleness, the consciousness of Shiva to the richness of the sexual experience of our senses, we do opposites together. And by doing so, the consciousness of Shiva is presented to the Shakti, and all the juice of life is presented to Shiva, and it becomes an illuminating experience. So that's the mechanism in which Tantra allows you to join these opposites together. And we are opposite polarities. And by doing this, we escape the duality, and the infinite is unfolded.
Mm. Thank you. Shandi, what do you have to add to that?
Well, we use the duality to achieve unity, so the duality becomes one.
I see. So let's talk about the ancient, where this knowledge comes from, because there were some great sages that came up with a very specific way of accessing this. Can you give us a little of the ancient history of Tantra? Like from Devi Shandi, you know, that going back through the Kashmir Shaivism and the sort of historic texts of Tantra?
Yeah, Tantra is the oldest spiritual path in the world. They have actually found excavated evidence in the area known, you know, in the area, I guess it's Pakistan today, Pakistan, India, where they have uncovered artifacts that showed that the ancients worshipped Shakti, or Mother Goddess, like about 6,000 years B.C.
Mm. And
so it's the oldest religion, if you will.
But what were the specifics of those texts as far as, like, red Tantra? Did they have specific practices that they used, that they specified in order to increase the Shakti?
Well, red Tantra, all these terms are like New Age concoctions. These are not in text per se. They're just taking one aspect of Tantra and they're glorifying it. And see, there's so much more to Tantra than just good sex or a lot of sex.
Shandi, I think what he's asking, though, is maybe some of the teachings from the Shiva Shastras or the Rig Vedas and some of the older original texts. And a lot of the teachings were done in allegories, were done in stories.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories were taught in developing an understanding of the Shiva Shakti paradigm and learning to honor the two. One of the oldest introductions of Tantra was from Shiva, and it's the concept of Dharma. And how to live an honest life in all that you do. So the idea of Dharma and the concept of marriage or joining male and female together, this was taught in the some of these older old texts. You might want to expand on that, Chandi, on the...
Yeah, please.
Well, the ancient teachings are based on the principles that Shiva had taught us of artha, kama, dharma, and moksha. And artha is your wealth, if you will, or your material things that are needed. Kama is your desire. Dharma would be your ethics and how to live life. And moksha is enlightenment. And then he also added the concepts of karma and, the ego and having marriage. And unfortunately, like I was saying, what they have done is they have just taken a part of that. For instance, the section on kama, desire, or that's where the sex would fall into. And they have used that and promoted that aspect and called it Tantra. But Tantra is more includes much more than that. Good sex is a great byproduct of the practices.
Wait, so this...
Peel off all your layers of ego.
Mm-hmm. So this kama, which is the desire, what were the others? There were kama and what you said there were... I didn't want to...
Dharma.
Dharma, which
is
your purpose.
Your life.
Yes.
And
then...
And moksha.
Moksha is liberation, your spiritual liberation.
Yes.
And wait, that's three. There was a fourth one, did you say?
I'm sorry?
You said, I heard, dharma, kama, moksha, and there was a fourth one, wasn't there?
Okay, artha.
Artha, what's that?
It's wealth.
It's wealth?
Yes, it's wealth and having enough, in other words.
So you're saying the sex, it was only, let's say, one-fourth of the whole overall teaching about Tantra. You need to have the three other areas covered as well in order to practice real Tantra.
Well,
right.
Yes, and I could
really
just interject here for a second.
But go ahead.
If I could just interject here.
Yeah.
Originally, it was taught there's two paths in Tantra, the left and right hand path. And the right hand path was taught first. And the right hand path is the path of expanding your understanding of the divineness, the understanding, the developing the ability to meditate and developing the ability to become mindful and developing this sense of moksha.
Mm-hmm.
It weren't thrown into your senses right away because there's a risk involved in doing so because the senses and sex can expand the ego instead of reduce the ego. So it was the right hand path was taught first, and you might want to expand on that, Chandi, in more detail.
Well, the right hand path is the more austere path.
Fear, you said? Fear?
I'm sorry?
The right-hand path is the result of...
Austere.
Okay.
Austere. And it's it was necessary for the devotee to have a background, a foundation of the right-hand principles, so that when they did practice Tantra, the left hand, they would have an understanding of what was going on. To just jump into it without any prior knowledge can be very dangerous because, like J. Ram says, it is a it's a path that can
meditative arts and yoga was also introduced by Shiva in these early teachings, and these were the techniques used to develop these right hand path techniques were used to develop the inner awareness of our inner self. Mm-hmm. And we had to develop these, this right hand path and use these tools to develop that before you, as you mentioned earlier in this interview about how risky it is to include sex with your ego, you know, usually sex causes us to become more ego-centered. You know, we become the doer. You know, we're having sex. We're doing this. Where
right.
in Tantra, you're the non-doer. You're not having sex. You're experiencing. You're having a sexual experience. It's a change in the way you perceive yourself and what's happening. So there is a risk throwing someone into the sexual amplification of our senses and everything without this right-hand path knowledge of developing our higher self.
So is this the path both of you have taken? Were you practicing the left hand, or the right hand before you decided to practice the left hand side? I mean, can you share your personal experience, like J. Ron?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or Shandi? Yeah.
Yes. Actually, that's very true. I was having a lot of personal challenges, divorce and all of that. And my friend encouraged me to go meditate, which I reluctantly did. And I just fell in love with it. And although I couldn't sit for longer than 5 minutes, I did it faithfully every single night before long, the 5 minutes turned to 10 turned to 15, about 5 minutes a month is what I added. And before long, I was meditating for, 90 minutes, but, and doing everything they said because I wanted my life to be changed.
Uh-huh.
And it was very helpful to have all that practice and all the meditation and all the studying that I had done on my own before getting into Tantra, because then your body and your mind are more prepared to deal with the different kriyas or different manifestations or phenomena that is associated with having tantric sex. So it's very important to have some kind of knowledge, or at least be practicing, doing some kind of meditation practice, and not be just totally focused only on sex.
Right, but can you talk about the kriyas and the manifestations? I think that's interesting to talk about what happened to you as far as manifestations, what you became aware of.
Well, just in general, after a period of meditation, I was able to think something and it would occur or things like that, It was just really quite amazing. And then I knew for a fact that, boy, everything they were saying is true.
Uh-huh.
And just as easily, you get slapped. And when you get slapped, then it's time to sit back and say, okay, now, what is this? My ego is coming up here. And so you get to learn to deal with it, because when you are in a relationship with Tantra, in Tantra, everything is intensified. The good is intensified as well as the not so good. So in order to keep intimacy going, you really have to have an understanding when you are reacting, when is your ego reacting.
Right.
And
so,
have a total understanding.
So in sex or the sexual act, because you were so conditioned, did the kriyas and manifestations become amplified?
Yes, definitely.
And in what way? Like what would you see, J-Rom? Can you tell me? I mean,
well,
if you want to tell
it would, it would cause psychodrama to manifest. And all the emotional issues that any pain or any issues that of addictions or would manifest, would come out. And the Tantra has a way of cleansing you.
Uh-huh.
And it has a way of bringing these to the surface and to make you aware of them. Then you have to deal with it.
And to clean
it out. Psychodrama
is,
right,
it's like cleaning the house. So
right.
So tantric sex is a prolonged sense or state of elevated bliss, and from this elevated state comes these remnants of the old soul or the old body or the old thinking comes popping up, the old personalities, the ego concerns, some of the emotional psychodrama shows up.
Go ahead, Chandi. Yes?
The ego doesn't want to die, so the ego will do anything to keep going. And
that's
it's a constant battle with your own, within your own self.
But that's the negative aspects of the kriyas you're just mentioning. I think there's also some positive side to the manifestations that occur. Can you talk about that, though? I mean, if you want to say positive, it's not just drama.
No, some of the good things are, well, actually, there are more good things than not.
About that as well, because I think, you know, the beauty. Go ahead.
Some of the good things that typically occur is a renewed, extended awareness of the richness of life, and you feel like you're in love with everything that you see, and you extended state of bliss, this blissful awareness of all the multiplicity of life, all the synchronicity of life, life's harmonies starts unfolding before your eyes, and it becomes, your life becomes more richer, and sex becomes just the catalyst that kicks this off, where you live in an extended period or extended states of very pronounced bliss or enjoyment that you can't access any other way that I know of.
But what is tantric sex? I mean, there's intercourse,
tantric,
but what makes it tantric?
Okay, I'll explain that. Tantric sex, there's three things that are required. You have to be totally natural. You have to let go of the ego totally.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be present. Those are the three things that are necessary to have a tantric experience.
So no technique, no types of, you say none of that is tantric.
The technique is all the ego manifestation. Really, there's some discipline that you have to train your body, just like in martial arts or yoga or any physical activity. You have to see and fit, and you have to have command and mastery of your body. And
right.
That's your own muscularity, your own inner control. But these become automatic. You're not the doer any longer. But
right, you want
like
to, especially, you mentioned in the book, you definitely want to lock the energy in the perineum, like tighten that, the anal sphincter and...
Sure, these are some of the techniques that you have to master. You have to learn how to master your body and master the locks required to move this energy around, because with Tantra, you use this sexual energy to expand your awareness, expand your higher consciousness.
Right.
So in the book, we have exercises. Since we broke the book down into knowledge and action, or the Kriya part, is learning the mastery of the body, learning how to control the muscularity in a woman, and in a man, learning how to control his own sense of
his ejaculations, you would say?
His ejaculation. So he can prolong sex for as long as you wish, for an hour or 2 hours, however you want it to be. So the idea is to raise this sense of this blissful state through sexual senses for at least 20 minutes at a minimum, preferably longer than that. And you reach this orgasmic level of intensity, and you maintain that for at least 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do this, there's health benefits that will help rejuvenate your body, keep you younger and more vital on a physical level, but on an emotional level and a mental level, there's also benefits that we mentioned earlier.
Right. So,
yes, there is the right hand of Tantra requiring you to discipline your own body and discipline your own mind. It's not automatic, but once you've acquired the skills, it's just like a martial artist. Once you've done the katas a couple thousand times, you don't have to think about them anymore. You just react to the situation that presents itself. So you're not the doer any longer. You just become the instrument of the action.
Right, but so let me ask Shanti then, if you're having tantric sex and you're engaged in all this pleasure, are you detached from the pleasure, but you also want to feel the pleasure without getting caught up in it? How do you deal with this, you know, because it is very pleasurable and overwhelming sensation. How do you still remain detached from that and allow yourself to feel it at the same time?
This is why you learn to meditate first, because when you're having tantric sex, basically it's a meditative act. Mm-hmm. And you are totally present, and you can meditate or even while you're dancing.
It's like blissful meditation it turned up on steroids. You know, Chandi hit the nail on the head. Tantra is a meditative act.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you have to learn to meditate first, the right-hand path. So you have to learn how to be centered.
But Chandi, do you ever let yourself go,
completely, because you're not in your head. Your body is on its own. Your mind is meditating and your body is free. And it is very liberating, because you are not using your mind or worrying about anything. Your mind is in another world. But your body is totally, you're conscious in one way. And on the other, you're in meditation, a very deep meditation.
If I could just add there, you have to embrace your animal, this base instinct. You don't deny it, but you become natural with it. As I mentioned earlier, there's three things required. Naturalness is one of them. being your natural animal, your natural person. And it's not that you become the animal or you become the mind. You are the experiencer of it. It becomes an experience, and you become aware of it. It's not, you mentioned earlier, well, how can you have sex, or how can you have this pleasure without, you know, being immersed in it?
Right.
Well, that's going back to your ego awareness, you know, becoming attached to the ego and attached to the pleasure. It's not that you deny the pleasure, you embrace it, but you don't become it.
Right.
You allow that energy, that sexual energy, to infuse your body and permeate into your higher consciousness, and it just creates these waves of intense pleasure and bliss that are out of this world. It's not like conventional sex at all.
Right. So where do you both want to go? So you've had that experience. It's great. You know, you're not your mind. And yet, you know, I still get the sense there's some stuff you're working through as far as ego personalities, like we're all working through. So what's your next step for yourselves, and where will you take Tantra as a practice to bring you to a new place? Do you know what I mean?
Well, it ultimately takes you to a state of balance, a plateau of awakening.
Uh-huh.
And it you reach a state of ultimate completeness, but it may take you 20 years to get there.
Well, you've been doing it for a while. How about you, Shandi? Is there some place you seek with Tantra to get to arrive at?
Well, I think we're always working. I mean, we're works in progress. So there's never an end point where, okay, I'm here now and it's over. No, you're in a perpetual state of change and evolvement. And evolvement will take all different kinds of forms. And so you are never really done until you're really done. So the goal is to just maintain the balance, retain any bliss, and just really contain it in your body and your mind. And by doing so, you also, you're not only helping yourself, well, after you help yourself, then you can really get out there and get out into the world and
help other people. Yeah.
You become a, instead of having a tantric sexual experience, the tantric sexual experience expands and becomes part of your whole life experience. So the meditative act that you do in tantric sex expands, and you maintain that state on a continuous basis. And
so
life takes on more intense dimensions.
So is that where you live? Do you live in that? Do you feel you're living in that place?
I live in that place.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you, Shandi, do you live in a place of on the edge of awakening, in a sense?
Yes. Yes, I believe so. This is my life. This is all I do and all I want to do. And
What is it that you do and want to do exactly?
Well, my meditation, my practices, my sadhana. My sadhana is my life.
And teach others this as well, right? I mean, you're a teacher.
Yes.
Well, we'd like to share this knowledge that, you know, that we've uncovered through our own personal journey.
Yeah. You know, there's many, many, many great books out there. There are some that are very academic, and the average person would find it very hard to get into. It's kind of heady and everything. So what we wanted to do was to present Tantra, the academics of Tantra, in a non-academic way, and at the same time also include the practical aspects of it, because all of that is necessary, you know. And so a lot of books on Tantra are all about sex. There's nothing about philosophy or practices. So, you know, it was something that we felt had to be addressed.
Yeah. No, it's a very beautiful book. I just want to tell people it's called From Om to Orgasm, A Tantra Primer for Living in Bliss. This is Shandi Devi and J. Ram Shivananda. We're almost out of time. I mean, thank you for giving us all this beautiful information and your own individual, you know, experiences. But how can people reach you? You have a website and...
Yes, they can write to us at Chandi, C-H-A-N-D-I, at Karma Cafe, and that's K-A-R-M-A, C-A-F-F-E.com.
And the website is KarmaCafe.com?
Yes, KarmaCafe.com.
And if you had to leave people with an understanding of, you know, your most essential message, what would you like to tell people about, you know, how to live in the world?
I would say live in love.
And that's really the essence. And J-Ram, what would you say?
I would say to the, be mindful, be present in all that you do, and be real. It's really very simple. Just be.
It is
be
simple. Go ahead.
Be mindful. Be present. Be.
I was just going to say, if anyone had any questions, they could send us email at that same address as well.
Okay.
I don't know if Chandi hasn't mentioned, but she's developed a network, a social networking site called Karma Cafe, and it's part of our sadhana that it's totally non-profit, and she developed this site to create a community of spiritual awareness and people with like interests to share their experiences and what they have. So
that's great. I'm doing the same similar thing with my newrealities.com website, creating a community of like-minded spiritual people. I mean, maybe we can hook up and combine our resources.
Well, that's a wonderful thing to do. And
well, there's so many people now awakening to this higher level, or just realizing there's more to the world than what we've been conditioned to think is real. And so when you both mentioned the authentic self, I mean, I think I know what you mean, but there's so many people that are just coming into that awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, people like Eckhart Tolle are great public teachers that are bringing new...
Yes, he's done a wonderful service.
He has, and your work is very important because you're bringing it back into the body. Yes, we're consciousness, but we're also this beautiful body and this beautiful temple, and we're here to do something on this level of life, which is to live life and enjoy it.
That's exactly. Beautiful. Yes, it is.
Okay. So thank you both for being a guest on New Realities, and I definitely recommend this book, From Om to Orgasm by Shandi Devi and J-Ram Shivananda. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and if you have any questions, please email me at newrealities@earthlink.net or check my website, newrealities.com, and I'm just going to leave with my closing and opening song, The Song of the Soul. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you,
guest.
Alan.
Okay, yes. Okay, here we go.
Bye now.
would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.
Far across the atmosphere, I reach for you, but you're not here. I wish I had the strength to pull you close before you disappear. If only one time I could see the purest light.